This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Yeah, buddy. C-Note's coming up at 5:20. We're in hour number four of the G-Bag Nation right here. It's time for an addition to the finest. But, you know, Zach was telling us yesterday, Micah Parsons had Trayvon Diggs on. We have highlights of that coming up for you here inside the Expressway. We'll go commercial-free to the top. L.A. Live 5:40. Gojo in 1 hour. It's a TD Tuesday, shock-a-lock, at 6:20. So just keep it locked in right here. Of course, Fan After Dark is coming up at 7 o'clock. It's time now for an addition to the finest. Here's Eric Chiafala.
Well, Chuck, am I seeing this correctly about Lions wide receiver Jameson Williams, who's already under suspension for some type of performance enhancer with the league? Did he just get arrested as well?
Yeah, he was nearly arrested over a gun found in a vehicle. He said, "I got the gun for protection. Do you guys know where I live? Detroit." So the gun was registered to Jameson Williams. He did not have a concealed pistol license, though. So he didn't actually get arrested. It was
okay,
close.
Cool. Much to do about
that. We'll see what the NFL wants to do. So that's going to kick off the 5 o'clock football hour presented by Buffalo Wild Wings for B-Dubs' football, baby.
Love it. Love it. Okay, we talked about the Bears there. And how about Stink? Just once again, 10 out of 10 in his bag, calling it like it is.
Stinky.
And he calls out Matt Eberflus and the Bears coaching staff, Shane Waldron, and for late in that game, handing the ball off to an offensive lineman. Mm. And the quarterback and the lineman can't even get the exchange right. And it's a fumble and it's a disaster. And that is just one of the many coaching mistakes that Matt Eberflus has made now in his 2+ years as the head man of the Bears. And I think many of us were recommending for the Bears to just go ahead and start anew in the offseason. You have the number one overall pick. You're going to draft your quarterback of the future, new face of the franchise. Just clean house and start with the new head coach as well. Maybe go get an offensive guy to pair with your new number one overall pick and get the job done. But, of course, the Bears decided to go status quo, hang on to defensive-minded Matt Eberflus and take a cast-off offensive coordinator who everybody hated in Seattle last year, Shane Waldron, and they said, "Here you go, Caleb Williams, do this thing." Well, I'd like to take you to ESPN 1000 in Chicago, where Albert Breer today was asked about Chicago and coaching, and listen to what he says about Ben Johnson, the best play caller in the sport, according to Ted Wynn from just a little bit ago. And we saw him firsthand with the Lions the other day at AT&T Stadium. Pretty good. Listen to Albert Breer, NFL insider.
Would other coaches' availability be factored into that decision, you think? Like, if Ben Johnson legitimately is looking for a head coaching job, he said he didn't want one last year, but if you've got some of these big...
He was definitely connected to the Chicago job last year. So, I mean, there was definitely there were some people who thought that was the one he wanted, and obviously it didn't come open. But I think that stuff always plays.
Okay, so some people, imagine being a Bears fan right now and
here,
hearing
I could have
Albert
had Ben
Breer
Johnson
saying that Ben Johnson, who keeps turning down jobs, the one that he actually would have been really interested in,
dream job,
was the Bears job. But you didn't even give him that opportunity because you wanted to run it back with Matt Eberflus. If you're a Bears fan right now, you're just sick to yourself. You just watched your offense not complete their fourth pass of the day until basically the fourth quarter of the football game. And Caleb Williams is running for his life.
He is.
And Matt Eberflus is signing off on handing the ball off to a guard in a big moment at the goal line. So that would just be such a nightmare thing to have to deal with right now if you're a Bears fan. Maybe you could just fast forward to this upcoming offseason and make the same switch if Ben Johnson is still...
Yes.
Like, if he really wants to be, you guess he just loves Caleb Williams, maybe.
That's possible. I would think if you are the Bears, it's been a tortured existence, and I would hope that Ben Johnson would consider you. But I don't think if you're one of the most coveted coaches in the NFL, you're going to one of the most dysfunctional mom and pop shops in all of pro sport, which is the Chicago Bears. I mean, storied program, history, tradition on your side, great brand, great fan base, and you sit there spinning your wheels year in and year out.
I love the 9-4-0. Won't matter who the coach is if the offensive line can't block.
It's family run business in Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Family-run business here?
Yep. Yep. Yeah, you don't want that, you know. Oh, but no. I think the Bears are even worse at it than the Joneses.
See, this, yeah, the, you know, the McCaskies and stuff. I agree with you.
Well, I mean, in there, infighting. Like, we don't really know who's the decision maker with the Bears.
Oh, no, the McCaskies are, yeah.
It's like, very dysfunctional.
Yeah, very dysfunctional, no question. I still think he could get his dream job with the Bears. I think that thing could open up for him.
Oh, it definitely could.
Oh, it's going to open up.
And I think that if Dallas is interested in Ben Johnson, you better put your best foot forward. Because if his dream job, according to Albert Breer, is the Chicago Bears, that thing could open wide open for him. And he, you know, he could, you know, in the division, he understands how to beat the division.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I mean, what a disaster for the Lions. Yeah, like, crap, our guy's now going to the Bears.
They're going to lose likely him, and they could very well lose Aaron Glenn. You know, you look at how Dan Campbell, what he's done putting that staff together. Man, they got some good coaches on that staff.
Yeah, that's the challenge to stay consistent. Stay as a good consistent, team.
And that could be a team that very well could be in the Super Bowl this year.
You can have family in Chicago. You could love the area and just decide to move there. But I think right now you have an opportunity to go get a good job with an organization that has a better chance of winning. If you go to Chicago and fail, I don't know if you're getting another look. You can go from hot coordinator to nothing.
It happened to that dude. It's I'm sorry. The guy's with Andy Reid now at Kansas City. He's the OC.
Nagy?
Yeah. Nagy.
Yeah.
Nagy.
Took Trubisky.
Yeah.
Genius his rookie year.
Yeah. Made the playoffs his very first year and then completely fell apart after that. I see your point there. But you could be in a situation. He's a Ben Johnson's a North Carolina guy. And I'm not saying he had an opportunity to get
Carolina's
job, and he looked at that situation and said, whoa, no. And now there were some questions that he was asking for a ton of money, too, that he was looking for somewhere between 12 and 15.
I'm going to come here and rebuild, and in 2 or 3 years you're going to decide I didn't do a good enough job before you ever give me a chance to win and fire me, right? He made the right decision there. Why couldn't he make the right decision about Chicago as well? Maybe he thinks Caleb Williams is that good, to your point, Chief.
Yeah. I mean, that would be it. That's a quarterback that I believe in, and they've got some talent. If he can just rework that offensive line, I mean, they're 4-3 right now. That team, I don't think on paper roster-wise, is that far away, but the dysfunction of the ownership, if I'm trying to look for a job and I've got options, that could very well say, I'm good, man. No thank you on that.
Well, it would also suck to be a Giants fan today watching your team, and there's no way they're going to keep it status quo there, but the idea that they paid Daniel Jones when you knew who he was, and now... And someone made a good point on Twitter, like, we'll never see a quarterback like this again. And on the same day where we're benching Anthony Richardson after 10 starts, like, Daniel Jones, he's gotten so many opportunities, 70-plus games. He's 24-42-1.
Yeah, but that's the Giants' way of operating. You know, we talk about John Mara and the Mara family and the way the Tish Mara family, the way they run that organization. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if they look at their coach again and John Mara talk about running that thing back again, you know, with
yeah, they want
Brian
to keep
Dable.
The continuity.
Yeah, they had a general manager, you know, George Young in the late 70s, and what happened was Mara's dad ran the organization and they had some success. I mean, he was a president and all that, and then he realized that they have to have a general manager. But man, I'll tell you what, they are all about wanting to keep things status quo. They are like, let's give, you know, full. And I'll tell you why they do this. They're tied with the Rooney family in Pittsburgh. Their sons are married to Rooney daughters and stuff. So they try and have similar type of. No other organization has more continuity. They had three coaches.
Yeah.
They had three coaches since 1969 there.
There's been more popes.
Yeah. So there's this belief, right or wrong, that like, no, let's keep on task here. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. And I see
they've been turning and burning with some coaches and the GM.
Yeah, they've got two.
But the Daniel Jones stuff, like the doubling down on Daniel Jones is just crazy. He started 2 and 6 or worse in five of the six seasons
and that he's been there. And that very much,
their record has been 2-6.
That seems very Mara-like.
He's had one season with 20 or more touchdown passes.
They, I mean, they really did the same thing with Eli. Like, if it weren't for those Super Bowls, Eli's a 500 quarterback.
Exactly.
So, I mean, the Super Bowls is what you look at Eli and you say, oh, damn. Otherwise, that guy would be thought of as very average.
Well, right when they were getting ready to get rid of him, you know, they go out and have a somewhat successful season at 9-7. He throws 3-1 touchdown to interception ratio and ends up with a plus 90 passer rating. I think it was a little bit of bad luck. Like, they thought, oh, wow, right at the end of his rookie deal, he's getting it figured out. But what they didn't realize is that was just his best lucky year. And it actually got worse than his rookie year immediately after that. So I do think that organization's a little bit snake bit. I don't know what I would do, because he can run. He was avoiding turnovers. He had a completion percentage in the low 60s. Like, there were a lot of indicators that were there. And that's the terrifying downside, you know, of that second contract with a quarterback that's not capable.
This is an organization that's had Hall of Fame coaches throughout its organization, throughout its history. They've had Hall of Fame coaches. That hasn't been the case here the last, you know, Tom Coughlin. Since Tom Coughlin's left, I mean, that thing has been a disaster. And Tom Coughlin and I don't get along at all. But I'm going to give the man credit for going there.
Yeah, he's a winner.
And doing a great job there. Absolutely did a great job there. And they haven't ever since. I mean, they've had bad coaches along the way. And whereas this organization for a long, long time had Hall of Fame coaches at every, yeah, I mean, every decade.
I hope it stays that way, selfishly. Yeah. Keep Daniel Jones as long as possible.
Me too. All right, let's go ahead and let's get to Jameis Winston, a man who deserves all the love right now. He's on Good Morning Football today, and he had another bar for America.
Every single day, I'm approaching it to be a man of increase and imitate Christ. So as I continue to do that, dog, the sky is the limit. And if the sky is the limit, you can't say the sky is the limit when people have been on the moon. You know, so I'm going to keep on going
That's
up.
Right.
I'm going to keep on inspiring people, and hopefully, you know, somebody grow from that.
You can't say the sky's the limit when people have been to the moon.
Who was that that said, that's right?
That's right.
Good God.
Probably mind blown back there.
Good
Morning Football.
Oh, Good Morning Football.
On NFL Network, yeah. I don't know. Probably Schrags.
That's right.
Dude.
just an eye-opening line there from Jameis Winston. He continues to be the gift that keeps on giving, dominant on the field and at the microphone. His future is bright. Should the Jets go ahead and trade Davante Adams?
Can they?
Can you do the old rare double trade?
I know you're
trade?
Not allowed to.
No trade back?
I don't think.
No trades.
There's a rule against that.
Yeah. A recently traded player can't be traded again? The NBA looks at the NFL and says, huh.
Watch this.
Yeah, seriously. I can't flip Davante Adams right now if I'm the Jets.
We learned something.
I don't even know if I want Davante Adams if I'm another team, honestly.
Hassan Reddick
has been an omen.
The Eagles couldn't trade back for him,
right?
So I know for sure, like, you couldn't just give him back to the Raiders. But I do wonder if there's like, in a certain amount of time here.
I think
you can do the double trades.
I don't think you can give him back to the Raiders.
No,
I think
definitely not the Raiders.
Not back to the Raiders.
You could give him to somewhere else.
So. No trade backs, but you could flip him.
Yes, this is happening. This has been happening. You think you're making the playoffs a couple of weeks later. You've lost both games trying to move him.
I would trade him if I could. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think the NFL has been fairly hands-off when it comes to overly regulating such deals.
It's really funny to consider, but that's where things are with the Jets right now. There's teams that need receiver help. Maybe the Chiefs, that's how the Chiefs end up getting them. It's like the Raiders won't do business with them, but what do the Jets care?
Not much.
They find a way to still be able to land him. I don't know. We did see Deontay Johnson, wide receiver from the Panthers, get traded today to the Ravens. I think that's a great move for the Ravens. We'll see how much it helps them in the postseason. And I think most of that just comes down to Lamar Jackson and his health. But I thought that was a really, really nice move. I was thinking maybe the Chiefs would be interested in doing something like that. But, of course, they went and got DeAndre Hopkins. Pat McAfee, and he knows plenty of people with the Chiefs, he's like, they're not done. They're not done. They, of course, make the trade for Uche, the pass rusher from the Patriots. Mm-hmm. But maybe they have another move up their sleeve. But I love the idea of Davante Adams being flipped once again.
Yeah.
Now that the Jets
awesome.
Dumpster yeah. fire is what it is, just yes. acknowledge it and move on, and maybe he can go be a losing omen for another team.
Maybe, man, make it three in a row. That's another organization that it's like, hey, this team wants to trade for you or draft you or hire you as a coach. I would just say no thank you if I had any other option.
Any other option, please. Yes.
Other than Cleveland, you know. Cleveland's I at least like bad. To be in New York.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. All right, thank you, Chief. In addition to the finest most afternoons, 5 o'clock here on The Fan. Expressway's coming up next. We'll give you what Micah and Trayvon were talking about and go commercial-free to the top. LA Live's coming up at 5:40 here on The Fan.
Second and goal at the 7. Snap is back. Looking around, Prescott wide floats open. It down to a wide-open wide C.D. Lamb on the left side of the end zone. Touchdown, Cowboys.
Wow.
Thank you, Brad Sham. There's your Cowboys replay brought to you by Ciroc, and it is now Expressway time, commercial-free to the top of the hours, courtesy of the on-time experts. We'll get you to L.A. Live as quickly as possible. Gojo, Mike Golic Jr., NFL and college football at 6 o'clock, TD Tuesday as well. So we're rocking and rolling here, commercial-free, and we salute Gavin Dawson, who's about to be in for one hell of a night, it seems. He's coaching against a gauntlet local team led by a head coach, Tolo,
yeah.
Who apparently his team is just top to bottom, super, super like Detroit Lions style, might embarrass him tonight. So Dawson's about to get that belt to ass like our Cowboys depressed fans.
Louis
to
ass. Say. Sounded yeah. like it could be rough. So I Godspeed to the yeah. Dallas Surf.
He didn't have the usual eye of the tiger when he has to leave early for a big game. He was kind of... It's kind of limping out, leaking confidence already. So Godspeed to him, and maybe he can shock the world, you know, any given Tuesday.
Hey, believe.
We always say that. All right, let's first address a question here from the 803 or just a comment, but it's exhausting being a Cowboys fan. Okay, we can.
Yeah.
So far, so good.
Agreed.
But then he says, YTF didn't we go get Deontay Johnson? Our roster management has just been bleep. That's Tolo Average Chris. Chiming in. Did that one bother you guys today when Deontay Johnson was traded? I mean, it wasn't no. for much. You give up a fifth-round pick for a clear wide receiver one. I think it's a good move for the Ravens, but I don't think you're in the same position as the Ravens to feel like, oh, this guy is going to be like a world of difference for
right,
you.
Right, right. So it didn't bother me. I get it was for limited compensation. I'm definitely into making a move, but Deontay Johnson is a free agent after the season.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, hey, unless that means like maybe that's their way of if I actually trade for a guy, now he's mine, so I'm going to re-sign my own. That falls under the re-sign my own
or
category.
Or get a compensatory pick, maybe.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. But that,
not for this draft, but
no,
the following draft.
This would be one where... If he wasn't a free agent, if you still had another year on him, I'd have been upset.
Let me ask you this. Does Johnson, and I'm not going to act like I watched a bunch of Carolina games, but does Johnson make that much of a difference?
In terms of the overall trajectory of the season, I would say no.
I think for the Ravens, he makes a legitimate difference.
To me, the Ravens are always hunting receivers. They look like they've got
over
it
the
right.
Ravens, yeah.
They've always got, they got it right with
Zay Flowers.
Zay Flowers, yeah.
Bateman seems like he's kind of coming on a little bit this year.
Yeah, as he's losing the ball in the sun.
He did get lost in the sun.
But he's been disappointing.
Looked like me playing beach volleyball out there.
Seems like every week he's making a play for him at least.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
part of the offense.
But Mark Andrews is not quite the same. Like, I get why they would want some more
weapons. No other team, am I wrong about this, hunts wide receivers
no,
more than that
much. You're absolutely right. And they don't end up usually working out for them. And they've taken Zay Flowers in the first round, Rashad Bateman in the first round. They bring him Odell Beckham Jr. They tried it out with Marquise Hollywood Brown. Deontay Johnson might very well be in that list of this one didn't work either, but they do need to play him.
I mean, they're throwing to Nelson Aguilar and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that some of the stuff they're doing right now?
And he had one catch against you for 56 yards. Yeah, in the game here, he had 50. One catch, 56 yards.
There you go. Yeah, I think Zay Flowers and Deontay Johnson is pretty nice, but I don't think for the Cowboys at all. I'm not really concerned about them. I think you have to earn the right to be a buyer at the trade deadline. You don't just get to the trade deadline having done nothing from a player acquisition standpoint for the last 6 months and expect to be able to make a move and it really do much for your football team. Cowboys are in a bad way right now, and they're just going to have to bite this season as the bullet that it is. And hopefully you draft your rear end off and maybe you change some free agent philosophies and you bring in a couple more players in the offseason. And hopefully you also nail the coaching hire that you're inevitably going to have to make. But otherwise, no trade is fixing you right now.
True or false for the Dallas Cowboys?
Is that how we play it?
No, just true or false. You don't have to say fart. Just say true or false.
All right, we won't.
We don't have to say fart, Walchuk.
No, just
that?
True or false.
Okay.
Cowboys could draft any position in the first round.
All right, let's move to the red zone as far as the running.
Oh, there we go.
No. Oh, come on, Robert.
Damn, Robert.
But I didn't want to take the segment. But true or false, Dallas could draft any position in the first round, and it will help this team.
I think that's
true.
That is true. They have so many holes that you could conceivably – make the argument for anything.
They could use a lineman, but offensively or defensively, linebacker, safety, corner, receiver.
That's what I'm saying.
Back,
they end up with a quarterback. Say they end up with a top 10 pick.
If I they like that quarterback with, idea there, old Chuck.
If
That's
they end up
good.
With a top 10 pick, how are you going to be on board of keeping this thing wide open, or are you going to focus in on a position to get?
I'd be wide open. Lineman, either side of the ball, corner, if there's one there for you, I'm all in. Whatever the best player is at that point.
I want to be open-minded, but by the time I get to draft night, I'm sure there's going to be like two guys.
Yeah.
I'm going to be like, please, God, get one of these two guys.
But it's not like, oh, gosh, we've got to get a corner, you know, or, oh, gosh, we've got to get a center, which it seemed like this year. It was like you knew that at some point they're drafting a center.
I will be, oh, my gosh, you can't take a running back if you're in the top 10.
It's in the top 10, I would lean and agree with you. I don't think there will be one that goes top 10 this year, though. I think you'll be safe.
It sounds like to me this thing is really deep with running backs.
It's really deep.
Just listen to Jim Nagy, the Senior Bowl committee talk.
Pretty much, generally, that's par for the course. You can find some guys there. Okay, let's get to the Micah Parsons podcast.
Yeah, let's do this. Okay, so he had Trayvon Diggs on yesterday. We'll start with just the media member deal. Here was Micah asking Trayvon about the post game in San Francisco. Let me go up to said media member and let him know. I didn't like what he said about me.
I'm going to just let you know, take it away. Like, what's your thoughts? Why did you react, you know, the way you did? And, you know, what's your thoughts about that? You know, media trying to portray an image that isn't there. Because, and then before you go, I do think, you know, he was wrong because obviously you're in man coverage and times you got to see it, you know, kid was going on the field. So the narratives that he's trying to drive from the video was wrong, but kind of give your thoughts what led to that reaction and that outcome.
Yeah, I just felt like, you know, it's unnecessary. You know, I just felt like, you know, he was trying to use my name, you know, for clicks. And, you know, after the game, I just happened to see it, you know, and I clicked on it, I seen who it was. I was like, oh, he right here. Like, I just saw you. So I went up to him, you know, and I just spoke how I felt. Felt like it was a lot of emotions, you know, just losing, coming out the game. You know, we fresh off the loss. You know, I'm a competitor, so, you know, I wanted to win. So, you know, just a lot of emotions, and, you know, I just kind of let my, you know, emotions get the best of me. But, you know, at the end of the day, it still doesn't make it right for anybody just to be saying anything or just trying to throw dirt on your name or make you, you know, seem like you're doing bad or a bad job, you know, because, you know, I feel like I played my hardest game yesterday. I felt like, you know, I did everything I could. I felt like, you know, I was tackling, setting the edges, you know, just doing everything to help my team win. And for him to just try to throw that on my name is just didn't sit right with me because you were like completely wrong.
What'd you say?
Yeah, I mean, for him to acknowledge he's also acknowledging that there are games where I don't play my hardest. I am a one speed player.
Yeah.
He has to acknowledge one. He has to voice that he's a competitor.
Well, he definitely heard the chatter of it leading up to this game, and so he finally went ahead and
physically that was one of his best games.
It was.
He played a game against Cincinnati at home. And I keep talking. There was a third down stop he made, a fourth down stop he made. You know, he's had some selective moments where he hasn't always been as forceful as he needs to be. That game wasn't one of them. That game he got his nose bloodied a little bit. And he played with some physicality when he needed to. And
when he needed to, there's no question. He's never going to go out of his way to get in the mix there. And that was the Kittle play that Leslie was doing.
And he did. And, you know, he's looking at it as, okay, yeah, I get it, one play. But what about the other 45 coverage snaps I had? What about the other opportunities I have? Mm-hmm. I think that's where he felt it was unfair. That part of it. And Mike was wrong. If Mike is just saying the one play, then, yeah, I could see where the player looks at it a little bit as a cheap shot. Like, okay, well, yeah.
100%.
I couldn't get over there. I couldn't get over there. Maybe my effort was bad here. Maybe I was loafing on this play. But can we watch the other four run tackles I had? Can we watch the other some of the things in coverage I was able to do?
Yeah, if you want to point out last week, go for it.
Yeah, there's
a full highlight reel worth of clips that you could do for last week's or the Detroit game for Diggs.
All you do is, you know, like he took it personally there, and I can understand it because if you're talking about that particular game, he was a lot better. I've seen him play far worse with the physicality or lack of in games that Leslie could have called out. that would have made a whole hell of a lot of sense, and you might not have got the reaction that you got.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish Parsons would have given a little bit more follow-up to just like, okay, walk me through, you get to the locker room, and then what's the play? Well, are you usually going right to your phone?
Yeah,
yes, but how did you see it? Did somebody text it to you? Just some of those details.
My own experience of being in an NFL locker room is that these players keep their phones on top of their lockers, and they walk in, and they immediately go to them and look. That's the era that we now live in, the age we now live in. And he had his uniform on, and I guarantee you, family member, agent, somebody that's following all these media members, they all follow us. They all, families follow us. That's why stuff gets clipped and put out there and things like that, you know? And then you get called out for it because of, you know, now, listen, I have no problem saying stuff about players or them coming after me or whatever, but the thing that I have a problem with is when people tag you and stuff. Like, hey, Diggs, at Diggs, you know, you see this? That kind of thing. I'm like,
yeah, when you were subtweeting it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, come on, man.
Well, yeah, they're stirring it
snitches,
up.
Man.
They're stirring it up.
That's what I'm saying. I don't mind if you want to come after me about stuff.
Yeah, because you're a man. You're 40.
Well, you got to.
You can take 60. It.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. The way that I don't think Mike Leslie was right. 60, I thought the tweet was silly. But the way that Diggs handled it, also wrong. You know, we've seen players over the weekend, they quote tweeted and clapped back at other reporters. Some 49er player did it after the game, talking about something. You can handle it that way, or you can go up to Mike and talk.
D's nuts him.
Handle it a different way. But right after a game, it just, you don't want your players doing that. Especially when the mantra or the head coach is trying to say, oh, we're keeping it in-house, guys. We don't hear that stuff. There's a lot of distractions, right? You got to stay focused. Well, clearly, you're getting distracted by that.
Pretty dramatic there, Nick.
Amen, Coach. Amen. All right, let's get to Coach here because actually we have Trayvon Diggs. What is he subtweeting McCarthy on this one?
Yeah, this is interesting. Trayvon Diggs and the 49ers coach is making adjustments.
What happened in the first half that kind of shifted in the second half, that kind of third quarter to separate the game? What was the differences out there?
I think we went into the game like with the right mindset as far as like the wanting to win and everybody doing their part, doing their job. I feel like we had a good first half. Like, our calls was good. We were stopping the run. We was flying to the ball. You know, we was just doing everything that we can, making sure they wasn't, you know, punching it in. Mm-hmm. And then halftime came, and I feel like they made some adjustments. They made some adjustments that we didn't adjust too, you know, and they started calling stuff that, you know, was beating our coverages, and, you know, we just didn't make the proper adjustments. And, you know, I feel like the second half, they jumped out on us fast.
Yeah, that Shanahan offense, what just makes it so challenging? Obviously missing McCaffrey, Ayuk, you know, Debo was able to play a little bit, and, you know, obviously the running back situation, you know, both teams facing injuries, but what makes the offense able to adjust and make it so unique?
I feel like it was their coach. You know, they had great coaching, just adjusting to the things that we were running. Like, it felt like, you know, everything that they called was just a counter to what we were in, you know, and it was just like we was SOL. So, you know, they got good players. You know, Debo had a great game. Kittle, you know, Hall of Fame wide receiver, you know, Purdy's over here doing his thing as well. So, you know, they got pieces, you know, they got the right pieces. So they was executing.
Everything they called was just a step or two ahead of where we were. And it looked like it.
Oh,
it looked
man.
Like it.
Well, I was waiting for him to go. Like, remember when Jerry was telling Sean and RJ the other day that the concepts and the designs are bad? Yeah, that kind of played out the same way. I know we had the bye week and everything, and it was potentially going to fix everything, but of course it didn't. And so it's basically just what Jerry said the other day. We have our coaches aren't very good.
Yeah, I think they got in a situation where they had some bad matchups. You know, they
defensively there was only so much they could do.
They have a lot of faith in Donovan Wilson. Yeah. They have a lot of faith in him, but Donovan Wilson playing from depth and coverage, and allowing George Kittle can make a lot of people look bad if you play him that way. You know, Kansas City, teams like that that have a little bit better safety play, guys that are a little bit more comfortable playing in coverage, safeties that way. That's why Wanya Thomas came on the field, because Wanya Thomas is a little bit more comfortable playing in coverage. But it was too late. You know,
right. The idea that you didn't know that going into the game.
Yeah, exactly. You had to go into that game believing, like, listen, let's not let George Kittle beat us in this game. They're down, you know, Debo Samuel's coming out of the hospital. They don't have Brandon Ayuk. Who else is going to beat us? Yeah, it's Kittle. Kittle's going to beat. My total focus in that game would have been, I am not going to let Kittle, I'm going to play him in coverage, I'll bracket him, I'll do whatever I have to do. But if somebody else beats me in this game, good for them. But I was not going to let him. The Dallas, it was far, far too late. The second half adjustment didn't happen quick enough of getting Wilson off Kittle.
Just totally.
Didn't happen.
Yeah, biggest indictment, I mean, on Zimmer.
Once they did it,
since
once
he's been here.
Once they changed that, they were able to get some stops at the end.
Yeah.
They got a couple stops.
Well, it's amazing how that stuff works. Like when you dial it up appropriately, how your guys can have some success. You saw it offensively as well.
Yeah.
You mix in a little motion and some crossing patterns, and you find CeeDee Lamb wide open for two touchdowns. But you only want to do that for basically two out of your 60 tries offensively.
It's very head scratching and it's puzzling. Now they also did throw out, should we bring a media member on to the podcast?
Oh, yeah, they did do that. I think Clarence Hill raised his hand and said he really wanted to volunteer
So did Mike. I think several people did.
I think we'd all be open to it.
Mike did kind of like dunk on Leslie a little bit, though. He did quote tweet it and say, I think I'd go with Clarence Hill. He's kind of got more of that funny TV vibe.
That was the
Mike,
quote?
Mike is a TV guy.
That's awesome. Well, that's a pretty good interaction.
Players
right there.
Probably don't like him.
No. Well, who's the media member that's going to ask McCarthy about these Diggs quotes? Because these are the doors that you open up here when you do podcasts and stuff. You say the thing like Diggs just said, complimenting the Niners coaching staff.
Well, then
somebody's going to turn those quotes around and ask McCarthy about it tomorrow, and he's going
to
be like,
"Yeah." And then Mike needs to.
It's just like anything.
Well, Mike will say that we need to practice a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. We need to practice harder.
Well, they're practicing hard. They just need to practice better.
Need to be a little bit more attentive in meetings. You know, I mean, he could turn it around and start talking about players that without naming players.
There you go.
We got to say the execution. We got to execute.
Oh, no. That's how you call the players.
That's
yeah.
So,
it's a toxic Tuesday. Let's get toxic, baby. And let's throw things over to LA Live.
Yeah. All right, let me get it together. Yeah, I don't think Mike Leslie is a clown chaser, do you?
I could see.
Mike Leslie. Oh, he's in town right now, dog. Hey, I like how you're standing on business, though, Wolf.
I'm honest like Anthony Edwards.
I can see it.
I might lose my job, too.
Kind of a cloud chaser to me a little bit. I follow him on Twitter. All right, let's see here. Let's get into a toxic Tuesday right after the great Rick James. Sorry, Mike. Oh, damn.
Oh, damn.
Hold on. Watch this.
M. Gatus.
All right, you squares.
These computers.
All right, you squares. Time is cold.
You gotta bring real to real back.
Yeah. Wow. It'll make you dance on everything.
Play it on a CD.
Everybody get high.
World Series!
And there's the New York Yankees and the level. No. You. You and the Yay Yankees. Oh, good. Root for the Yankees. Yeah. Yeah, root for. Why don't you? And while you're at it, root for Exxon to raise the price of gas. They're obnoxious. They've always been obnoxious. They had a great stadium, a really great stadium, and then they said, "No, we can't make enough money at our great stadium. We're going to make a greater stadium where you can go, and if you pay a ton of money, you can get even a better seat, and you go in and eat sushi at a." Ballpark. See, you're better off with the Padres. They suck, but at least you're not rooting for fascism. God, we got a billion things about that too. How can you equate the Yankees to fascism? Because I'm an Orioles fan.
Yeah.
Man, there you go. There you go.
Because I'm an Orioles fan.
Oh, Lewis Black, boy, I had fun cutting that up.
Yeah.
This is LA Live for Tuesday, October 29th, 2024. Damn, 29th?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's flying by, man.
Yeah. So that means that mortgage right around the corner again, dog.
Right there.
Come on, bro. Give me one.
Keep working, man. Just keep working.
Give your boy a break out here. Yeah. It is a toxic Tuesday here in LA Live. I can promise you it will be toxic, folks. Happy birthday to the homie and sports reporter,
Terrence Johnson. You guys know Terrence Johnson?
Yeah, Terrence.
Yeah.
Oklahoma Sooner alum.
Yeah, there you go. The right call.
Yeah.
Yeah, shout out to him. I didn't know his birthday until I looked on Facebook and I seen it there. So give you a shout out,
homeboy.
That's
the good thing about Facebook. It'll tell you whose birthday
it's amazing.
It is. If they don't lie about it, you'll be the right. Have you ever, like, Lucius, like, told somebody happy birthday and it really wasn't their birthday?
Yes.
I've done that. It's embarrassing.
Yes. Yeah, it really is embarrassing.
It's really, it's tomorrow.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, why? No.
Then why the hell did you?
Why is it on Facebook? Today. It's today.
Yeah. I sent the text. I was kissing butt, too, and I had the wrong date. Felt real bad. It just didn't work. I was kissing butt, too. Mm-hmm. Hey, man, it's your birthday. My birthday's in April.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah, McDonald's says the quarter pounders are good out here, folks, if you're looking for that quarter pounder.
Oh, no more E. coli?
Yeah, they searched all the meat. They looked through all the meat. They said it was not the beef patties. It was the onions.
Who was the onions?
The onions.
Okay.
Oh, wow, so
that's it. Blame the farmers.
Damn. Yeah, they sure
it's not
did.
Us. It's the onions, folks. I'm just telling you. Yeah.
Now, what else I got? Oh, speaking of burgers, Bob's Burgers. Ooh. The guy that played on Bob's Burgers, the actor, sentenced to 1 year in prison for his role in the January 6th insurrection.
Oh, is that right?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, they got him. Jay Johnston, an actor with the reoccurring roles in Bob's Burgers. Yeah. Mr. Show. Mr. Show is good. It's kind of quirky, but it's good.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah. He's got that guy who's always wearing those sandals.
Oh.
He's from Arrested Development. Oh, God, I can't remember his name right now. But he was on Mr. Show, Arrested Development. He was sentenced to 12 months and 1 day in federal prison. So, say a prayer to that guy.
Got him.
Yeah, they got him.
I'm from Knoxville, Tennessee. We're storming the Capitol. It's a revolution.
David Cross. The revolution.
Hey, speaking of that, the man that set the Arizona ballot boxes on fire has been arrested.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, they got him. He basically told on himself, and he had a warrant for his arrest. They got him on the warrant.
Yeah.
That's it, Eric.
This is the guy.
Go back.
Yeah, David Cross.
Yeah, David Cross. He's hilarious. I love David Cross. Guy. Yeah, I love David.
Yeah, I'm familiar with. I did not know he was a Capitol stormer.
No, not him.
Oh,
he's on a show with the guy.
Oh,
yeah, Jay Johnston.
That's not the guy.
I'm like, damn, this is a pretty big name to
lacing up his sandals and run out there.
Lace up his sandals.
Gosh, that would have been incredible.
Lace up his damn sandals. Yeah, man, that man was arrested. He had a warrant for his arrest. He ended up confessing to the police officers, "I'm the one that set the ballot boxes on fire. Not for a political reason," he says. "It's because he wanted to be arrested."
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
And you already had a warrant. All you had to do was just show up.
Yeah.
So I call Cap.
I hope they restore the ballots or whatever.
Yeah. I don't know how you're going to know.
How do you know?
How do you know it's yours? You know?
Exactly.
That's wild stuff right there. Speaking of ballot boxes and all that other stuff, U.S. citizens, I know you probably heard the commercial here on The Fan. U.S. citizens can now bet on the election via Robinhood.
Oh, that's good news.
Yeah, I tried last night. You have to update your Robinhood app to like the options trading side of the game.
Okay, you got to level up a little bit.
Yeah, Robinhood now has event contracts. Event contracts will allow you to speculate on outcomes of a specific event in the future. So there'll be more events. They're just kicking it off with the election.
It is.
Yeah, the value of each contract can equal up to $1 when it's all said and done. I don't know what they are right now, but it's basically like buying options.
All right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, hey.
So did you get some good odds last night?
I didn't. I'm going to try. I didn't get to that part. It says, fill this out and let's send you an email. And click. I was like, I got to go to bed, bro.
I can't stand that.
Okay, stuff like that. How many steps do you go through before you quit?
I'm usually...
Are you a two or three step quit?
I might get two, Adam.
If it's not something I need, then yeah, maybe three. No, I'm out.
If you're asking me to do more than two steps, I'm probably out on a quit. I'm a quit.
I think two's fair.
Yeah. I'm a give up.
I'll punt on third down.
Yeah,
for
I'm
sure.
a give up.
Yeah, they were asking a lot.
Canadian football. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm out.
But I'm gonna definitely hedge my bets and see what's going on. Shout out to that dude that I was like betted. He's like always predicted the elections.
Yeah,
so many elections he's got right.
Really? He's got, like, I think it goes back to the Johnson administration.
Yeah,
we got a guy with the sports almanac.
What?
So has he put his prediction in for this year?
He has, and I'm going to hedge my bets on that. He's going for Kamala.
Okay. He's thinking Kamala's going to take it.
And this dude is on a heater last, like.
It's amazing. It's crazy.
He's like Peter Schrager with the Super Bowl predictions.
Yeah, he's good, bro.
Yeah, Peter Schrager. No question.
He's good. Hold on.
But we're close to World War II because we have people in the White House that World War III.
Yeah, three. Three.
Thank you.
Skip history class that day.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
G-Bag of the Day. We do it every weekday on the Fan at 2:30. If you see anything floating out there, don't be afraid to hit me up at Lucky Lucius P on social media. Lucius Alexander on Facebook. And you can follow us all if you find G-Bag Nation on Twitter. Our winner right here comes from the KMC Masterpiece. That is the midday show here on the Fan, if you're not aware. They asked Stephen Jones, the Cowboys COO. This is brass. They're asking this dude this question. Listen to this.
Are you familiar with the incident between Trayvon Diggs and Mike Leslie yesterday? And if so, can you give us any feedback about that?
I'm not aware of that at all.
Okay, so Trayvon Diggs comes out and talks to Mike Leslie while he's still in his pads about a tweet that he sent out asking what Trayvon Diggs was doing. And he said to Mike Leslie, "You don't know ball. You can't do what I can do." Mike Leslie responds, "I'd love to talk to you about it." And Trayvon Diggs walks back into the locker room and says, "You can talk about D's nuts."
Yeah. Well, I don't have anything to say because I don't know about it firsthand and not going to comment on that.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. All right, Stephen, thank you very much for your time, man. We will get back with you next week.
Thank you, guys.
Go get Cowboys.
Go get Cowboys. Just urinating on the establishment from top to bottom, closing that thing down. That was amazing. Hagee, Corey, that was a true masterpiece, boys. Just wonderful.
Shoot. Talk about yourself. I got a situation here on this board.
Oh, no, I love that he finished it. Like, the last thing out of Hagee's mouth was the D's nuts.
Yeah.
Like he punctuated it there.
Yeah, well,
I just like how happy he was to explain it. Oh, okay, well.
We've been waiting for that all day. I got to ask you about these nuts.
Tell you about these nuts. Hey, man, what's going on with the Jets? I seen a stat today that they're, like, breaking records about their penalties.
Yeah, they're again. Just, like, one of the worst teams
in the history of the sport right now.
You can just Google Jets and penalties, and they just – all they do is set records every season with these penalties. Well,
their coach used all three of his timeouts in the first quarter the other day.
Well, that's why he's an interim coach, Brian. He's learning.
Three timeouts in the first quarter?
Yeah, three timeouts in the first, yeah.
That's funny you say that. The team has no discipline. Mike Francesa.
Uh-oh.
I love New York radio hosts that keep it really New York. Yeah. Well, they can find one thing to complain about make it the biggest thing in the world. It's a talent. And just when Mike Francesa, I thought he was gone, he came back strong. He ripped the Jets up. Listen to this.
An all-time Jet debacle on the Mike Francesa channel, on the Bet Rivers Network, on YouTube. Folks, this will probably be the last time I talk about the Jets this year because they have now gone to depths that I didn't even think were reachable after what we watched today. I mean, you got to be kidding me. This defensive coordinator, who has now become an interim head coach, has a better chance, okay, to become president than he does to be a head coach next year. I have a better chance to be an astronaut than this guy has to be a head coach in the future. He is worse than Salah. The team has regressed in every way. They got the ball in good field position, went three and out, and as the offense came off the field, he was shaking their hands. What are you shaking their hands for? They went three and out. What are you shaking their hands for?
Shaking hands, bro. You see what I'm saying? Like, you could take something and shaking hands and just make it the biggest thing
ever.
And just beat it up. Beat it up. And everybody's with you. Here's how you ended that rant.
They finally come down and score a touchdown. And okay, now get this very important two-point conversion. So you're up seven. And the worst that happens is you go to overtime. And they get a play of game with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback.
He's laughing.
I've come to the conclusion that isn't Aaron Rodgers. It's somebody else in that body. I've come to the conclusion that if the Jets had traded for Jim Brown in his prime, they would have made him a third down back. They could ruin any player. I didn't think you could ruin Aaron Rodgers. They have. They've turned him into a bum. And these head coaches, they cut to the offensive coordinator. He looked like he was waiting for a bus.
Yeah.
They asked the coach at halftime, and his statement just made no sense. It's something about continuing and just continue to pound the running game. You couldn't move the ball game on the ground.
I love how he's making himself laugh throughout the whole thing.
Because he knows how ridiculous
it is.
That was awesome.
I wonder what we thought about the Giants' 2-point conversion.
Oh, I'm sure he had an epic rant about that today.
Bums.
Yeah, saying throwing bum in there is perfect.
Great. Grant's from New York. Yeah. Throwing bum in there. Yeah, bum.
Yeah. Shannon Sharp was talking about the Jets and their debacle and everything, and I'm not going to get into all his takes on the Jets.
Can you give us a little Shannon Sharp talking about the Jets?
Well, Miss Bottom, Vice President. Yeah, Shannon Sharp, look, he was talking about the Jets, and for no reason, bro, he just goes over there and just runs over Aaron Rodgers.
It's as disappointing a team that we have seen in the NFL in a long time.
Well, let's make it the trifecta, because it couldn't happen to a more smug, cavalier, condescending guy. Oh, that's even low for you. Now,
wow, he did. He swerved.
No reason, bro.
He swerved.
I'm happy actually. Let's see what else we got.
Through that guy.
Before we get out of here, what I got?
So good.
Before we get out of here, hey, Papa don't take no mess. LA Live 105.3 The Fan on a toxic Tuesday. Do you remember when the playmaker Michael Irvin called out his son for pursuing a rap career? He didn't like his content of rap.
Oh, no.
I got a little clip.
I think I did.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just trying to remind everybody real quick.
I got a son. Oh. He raps. His rap name is Tut Tarantino. If you ever listen to some of his raps, I'm like, oh, my God. Where does this come from, son? You grew up in a gated community your whole life.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
We romanticize.
Where does this come from, son? Well, his son goes by the name of Elijah Irving. Doesn't go by the name of Elijah Irving. His name is Elijah Irving. He goes by the stage name Tut Tarantino, as you heard. And it looks like his son may have made a song and made daddy proud.
Ooh, let's
how
go.
About that? I like that. Cats in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man on the moon. Hey!
When we're coming home, son, I don't know when. No. We'll get together
no,
then.
No, bro, this is going to make me cry, bro.
Gonna have a good time then.
That song makes me cry a little bit.
Harry Chapin, Cats
oh
in the Cradle.
God, that song makes me cry a little bit. He's dressed like a painter on this on this album. Doesn't look like he's playing a music. Look like he's going to paint
something.
He's
an artiste.
Happy Trees.
Yeah, Tut Tarantino.
It's Michael Irvin's son right here with a football anthem for the Cowboys that Michael Irvin is proud of.
That's how you do it, son. You do it like they did it. I wanted to stand in front of my boys and say, do it like your dad, like any proud dad would want to. And at that moment, a voice came over me and it said, look up, get up, and don't ever give up.
Started, baby. Get back on your 2 feet and get that done. Don't contemplate it. Let's get that done. It's very televised for who couldn't make it. I'm standing tall, my chest up, chin up high like they can't break me. Lights on, it's time to fight. Fight, fight. They know just how we coming. It's Dallas, boy, we trying to fight. Lights on, it's time to fight. Fight, fight. Game time, it's time to fight. Fight, fight. We all never give up. We all never.
Little stuff right there from
not
that
bad.
It ain't bad.
Nice work, Tut.
Yeah.
Tut.
Too bad the Cowboys aren't as great as they should be, so this would be a banger, you know?
Oh, man.
Maybe
it would be so great.
Maybe it'd be the motivation that they possibly need. Oh, I can't. This thing is stuck. I can't wait till they fix this board. All right, here we go. You have no idea, dog. Oh. Yeah, all right. All right. That's it for me. I'll be black tomorrow on a hump day, a butt-naked Wednesday. Lord willing, the creek don't rise. My name is Lucius Alexander, and I will holla.
Thank you, Lucius. There it is, LA Live, every day at 540 here in the G-Bag Nation. All right, let's get back to football. We got Gojo, our buddy, Mike Golic, Jr., DraftKings, joining us next. Let's talk college and NFL on the Fan.